Hello, I'm Jim Allen, and welcome to another edition of DC Policy Update. I have a lot of things to talk about today, so I'll get started just with a brief mention of a report from a colleague, Linda Rittenhouse, has written on self-regulatory organizations, or SROs. SROs have been the subject of a fair bit of discussion from a couple of different commissioners on the Securities and Exchange Commission of late. Not all of it's very positive, I must add. Linda's report notes some concerns about the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, or FINRA, and its role as self-regulatory organization for brokerage industry, and also notices some of the difficulties that exchange SROs have had in recent months as well. But while at the same time noting those difficulties, she also points out the importance that of SROs as a frontline oversight entity, and the important role that SROs are playing in oversight in a number of emerging markets. With regard to what's happening in Washington this week, we're currently working on, we're going to submit a letter to the SEC, and this is related to a report that the Office of Financial Research had done on asset managers. The Office of Financial Research was a product of the Dodd-Frank Bill of 2010, and what it was specifically charged with doing was monitoring issues and events on a global basis to find out where or try to uncover where the next big systemic risk elements are coming from. And this report that they've done on asset managers is in line with that. And they note a number of concerns about the systemic risk potential of asset managers, principally related to concentration among a few firms, as well as a number of other issues as well. We actually have a problem with this report, as did the SEC, mind you, in that in many cases the OFR hasn't done a very good job distinguishing between the asset manager's role as a fiduciary and as an agent working on behalf of customers and essentially sort of managing those or overseeing customers' assets, and distinguishing that with that sort of role with what banks and other firms have with their sort of principal positions, where they put their capital and assets at risk out in the marketplace. So we are going to be submitting a letter on that in the very near future, and I just wanted to point that out to you. Another thing that we're currently working on, we've got out that's going to feed into our policy efforts. We sent out a survey on mortgage finance. This is an issue that we've noted a couple of times on this podcast that Congress, both in the House and the Senate, are focusing on trying to reform the mortgage markets to try to make it so that it's more sustainable for the future and not so dependent upon the big GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That being said, one of these bills from the House basically tries to get the federal government completely out of the mortgage market. The Senate version retains a federal role for a federal guarantee for mortgages, though it would be more along the lines of setting up a federal mortgage insurance corporation to provide a backstop to mortgage-backed securities. Now, we've done some initial testing and got some pretty strong indications that the membership isn't necessarily in favor of a federal guarantee, and in fact sort of thinks that it may be distorting. So we're trying to verify that with a survey that we sent out to our members who are interested in fixed income investments and on a global basis. And specifically what we're looking for, you know, is, you know, how likely they're going to invest in MBS in the future, how important federal guarantees are to determining whether or not they're going to invest in MBS. If there were no guarantees, what would investors need to find it viable to invest in mortgage-backed securities? What would happen if the federal guarantees on the market for mortgage-backed securities were withdrawn? What would happen to the mortgage loan market if those federal guarantees were withdrawn? And you know, sort of asking what do they believe, sort of the government guarantees, how do they believe those government guarantees affect the marketplace? So we intend to use this survey as some of our policy outreach in Washington, D.C. to let the members of Congress know what our members who are specifically interested in this market and are participating in this market, what they see on the horizon and how they see, what they think of those federal guarantees. So with that, I thank you once again. I'd like to invite everybody to visit our CFA Market Integrity blog. That's at blogs.cfainstitute.org/marketintegrity. And we welcome your feedback on this podcast or anything else we do here at CFA Institute at advocacy@cfainstitute.org. Thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to talking to you in the weeks to come.
Copyright 2013 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.